the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, when you find your place, if you would stand to your feet. And we'd like to read a portion out of God's holy word tonight. Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. A couple pages I hear still turning. We'll give you a moment to get there. Joshua chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Would you pray for us again tonight, Brother Gilbert? I'd like to speak to you on the subject tonight. I want that mountain. Of course, before we get into the main portion of the sermon, I'd like to say to you that our lost, the greatest mountain you could ever claim is Mount Calvary. I like that song they sang. Both of the specials tonight were great. But what a reminder of hell and how our loved ones are going to end up there if we don't do our job and pray for them and witness to them. And then that song, Back to the Cross. And that's where we all need to go from time to time. But I tell you, if you've never been saved, you need to go to the cross. That's the first mountain of victory. That's the most important mountain of victory. Our Savior climbed that mountain for you. He climbed it for me. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ our Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Well, we need to go to Mount Calvary tonight. If you're lost, I encourage you to get saved. This is going to be a message mostly to Christians tonight, but I wanted to get that out at the first to let you know that that's the most important mountain you need to claim is Mount Calvary. Get saved. Get born again by the grace of God. Caleb said, I want that mountain. I want God's best for my life. You know, so many Christians today are defeated, aren't they? Why did we have so many depressed and despondent Christians? You know, they're going through life. They live in valleys of despair and depression and all these things. When God intended us for all of us to have victory, God intended us to all live on a mountaintop and not down in the valley. And that was not a place God intended for you, but we find ourselves there so many times, don't we? We're defeated, and so many Christians are that way today. But why is that? Well, I think it's because they have unsurrendered wills. They really haven't given it all to Jesus, brother, like Joshua and Caleb, these wonderful Bible characters that we're going to study about tonight. And I tell you what, I'm tired of the status quo. I don't know about you. I want God's best for my life. I want God's best for my family. I want God's best for my church. I want God's best for everything I'm involved with, our ministry, everything that we do. I want God's best on it. Amen. God's blessing. And I hope you do too tonight. I tell you, who was Caleb anyhow? Well, Caleb was one of those 12 spies that Moses selected to go out and spy out the land of Canaan, to see what was over there. All 12 of them came back, but only two of them came back with a good report. The other 10, they said, yes, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants over there. But Caleb and Joshua were not that kind, brother. They said, oh, it's a land flowing. Yeah, it's wonderful. God has given it to us if we'll just go and take it. God has already delivered them into our hand. But the other 10 spies, their word prevailed. And the Bible says it caused the heart of the people melt. Brother, they were defeated before they ever got started. That's why they walked around in circles for 40 years in the wilderness, because of the evil report of these 10 cowardly spies. But I think Caleb represents you and I, the Christian, who is seeking victory and wanting victory, is about to conquer his Canaan, is about to possess the possessions that God intends for all of us to have. Now, God is no respecter of persons. Brother, God don't want to just do it for Caleb. God don't want to just do this for Joshua. God wants to do it for Brother Gilbert and Brother Williams, and not just preachers either. God wants to do it for you. Sometimes I think people got the idea, well, God just does that for preachers and full-time. I don't even like that word, full-time Christian. I mean, what's that supposed to mean anyway? Brother, if you're saved, you're supposed to be full-time. You're supposed to be full-time for the Lord. I mean, you don't put on your secular coat and be secular, and then you come to church, you put on your sacred hope coat and you be sacred. Brother, we ought to be full-time sacred for the Lord. In full-time service for Jesus. So many people, brother, they're not all in with the Lord. That's the trouble. They got one foot in, one foot out. They're half in, half out. And brother, the Lord can't bless you like he wants to bless you when you live like that. Won't you just jump out in the deep water with Jesus? He'll take care of you. I guarantee you, try the Lord and see if he won't take care of you. You know, so many people have the idea, I'm sure we got some right here tonight. You say, well, he's talking that preacher talk. I'm just a lay person. That's not for me. And you just shoving it over your shoulder back to somebody else you think need it more than you, brother. That's where you're 100% wrong. If you're born again, do we have any born again people here tonight? If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, Jesus deserves 100% of everything you got. If you hadn't given it all to Jesus, you're a disgrace to the name Christian. Well, what did the Bible say about Caleb? The Bible says he wholly followed the Lord. Let's talk about Caleb's character for a little bit. My, how we need Christians with some holy boldness and holy character today. It's willing to take a stand for the Lord and do that which is right. Notice what it says in verse 8. Did you see the last part of verse number 8? It says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Boy, that's a testimony. If a man can say that and say that honestly, boy, that is a great testimony. But not only did Caleb say that about himself, Moses concurred to that testimony. Look at the last part of verse number 9. Moses said, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That's two times. Not only that, look at the last part of verse 14. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I believe he was all in. Brother, I believe Caleb had given every nerve, every fiber, every ounce, brother. I believe he had given it all over to Jesus to follow him and to be whatever God wanted him to be. And that's the way God wants to be. He wants us all to be like that. Caleb had a character. What kind of character did he have? He wholly followed the Lord, his God. Secondly, tonight, notice that Caleb, I believe his character led to his confidence. What do you think Caleb's confidence was in? Washington, D.C.? Of course, Washington, D.C. didn't exist in his day. We live in now and now, don't we? Well, I'll tell you what, my confidence is not in Washington, D.C. Boy, if my confidence was in Washington, D.C., I would be a miserable mess, brother, for a long time now. I'm not depending on Washington. I'm not depending on the state of Virginia in which I live, or the state of South Carolina from where I'm from. Brother, I'm dependent on the Lord. I'm not dependent on anything or anybody else. God helping me, I'm depending on the Lord, my God. Look at verse 6. I want to pick out a few phrases here. Notice what Caleb says here in verse 6. The thing that the Lord said. Did you see that little phrase? Verse 6. The thing that the Lord said. Look at verse number 10. Picking out little phrases. The Lord hath kept me alive. Look at that little phrase. As he said. Down in verse 10 on further it says, the Lord spake this word. Did you see that? The Lord spake this word unto Moses. Look on down in verse 12. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. Are you getting a hold of this? Whereof the Lord spake in that day. Look on down the last part of verse 12. I shall be able to drive them out, the last four words, as the Lord said. There it is. As plain as the nose on your face. What was Caleb's confidence in? It was in the Word of God. But that's all we got. It's the Word of God. Brother, I'm basing my soul's eternal destiny on what's written in that book.
Amen.
Where would we be without the Word of God? Boy, we'd be in sad shape, wouldn't we? Caleb's confidence was in the Word of God. His confidence wasn't even in the man Moses. Now, I'm not putting down Moses. Moses was a great man, great leader of the Lord. But that chapter right there shows me that Caleb's confidence was not in Moses. It was in the Word of God. Brother, that'll keep you going. That'll work when nothing else will work. That'll be successful when everything else in life fails, is the Holy Word of God. You can bank on it. I don't care what your problem is tonight. The answer is in that book. Salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is. Maybe you're saved already, but you got other problems, don't we? Maybe you got problems with your kids, whatever. Get in the book of Proverbs, brother. Dig it out. It's in there. What you need to know, what you need to do. It's all there. Brother, whatever God says, you can take it to the bank. You can build a life on it. You can build a home on it. You can build a church on what God says. What thus saith the Lord, you can be successful. You always will be successful. Not in the worldly sense, but in the sense that really matters. Those riches that only God can give us. We can have them if we'll just obey God's word and honor him. That's all Caleb did. He just believed God and went for it, brother. Believe God and go for it. It's all there. God's not trying to withhold his blessings from you. The old songwriter said, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, brother, he'll do it for you. If you'll be like Caleb. Get all in with Jesus. Give it all over to him. God wants to pour out a truckload of blessings on you. I tell you what, you got to want God's blessings. He said, I want that mountain. I want God's best for my life. God promised it to me. I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. Boy, he's 40. He was 40 years old. Did you know that? Talked about George Mueller praying for 62 years for his brother to get saved. How long did Caleb have to wait to get that possession? 45 years. He had to wander around for 45 more years with them unbelieving Israelites before he got his possession. But did he quit? No. He didn't quit. Now, I didn't say it's going to be easy. That's 45 long years. It's easy to say 45 years, you know. I'll tell you, 45 years, that's a long time. 45 years. But oh, God came through for him.
Amen.
God gave him that mountain when he was 85 years old. God didn't give up on Caleb, and Caleb didn't give up on God. He said, I want that mountain. His confidence was in the Word of God. You know, Caleb, as he went up to conquer Mount Hebron, I believe He had a sword in one hand, brother. He was ready to fight even at 85. But he had a title digging in his back pocket. He knew God was going to give it to him. It had already been proclaimed and promised to him by Almighty God. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Lord has said so that we may boldly say. When God gives you something, brother, you can go with that. Amen. You can go with that. Caleb had a character. His character was that he wholly followed the Lord. That led to his confidence. His confidence was in the Word of God. And thirdly and finally tonight, that gave him courage. Boy, if we'll just wholly follow the Lord and trust His Word. It sounds simple, don't it? But it is simple. If we'll just do it, if we'll just learn to wholly follow God and completely trust His Word, the Bible says we can have the courage of Caleb. I tell you, Hebron, why did he want Hebron so bad? Brother, it was wonderful. You talking about a rich land? I tell you, grapes, figs, pomegranates, land flowing with milk and honey. Everything they could ever hope for was down there in the land of Canaan. Oh, but, as we said, they said, but there are a few giants over there. Sons of Anak, the Anakims. That's not headache medicine, by the way. Anakims. They were giants. Brother, they were Goliath-sized fellows. Yeah. They said, but there's giants over there. Well, somebody said the door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. You know, God has planned it that way. God has planned it that way. Even Paul faced this. He said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries, Paul said. You think Paul had any difficulties? As he served Jesus, my, if anybody had difficulties, Paul did. But did he let that stop him? No. He said, God has made it that way. What kind of adversaries did Caleb and the people have to face? I'm going to give you three G's, okay? The first one's not giants. The first one's grasshoppers. Yeah. You heard me right. Grasshoppers. Hold your place there in Joshua. Turn over to the book of Numbers. We'll come back to Joshua in just a second. But I want you to notice a verse in Numbers chapter 13. I want you to look at it. Numbers chapter 13 and verse number, well, the last verse. Numbers 13 and verse 33. The Bible says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as, what does the Bible say? Grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You see, like I said before, they were defeated before they ever got started good. Because, man, so we just like grasshoppers compared to them. We lived out in Nebraska for 3 years. And, boy, they had some grasshoppers out there. And you sow a row of blue leg green beans, Mr. Gilbert, they might come in the next night and just cut them off to the ground. You have to start over. You ain't got no green beans no more. They come and do that overnight. Big old grasshoppers. They wiped the farmers out. They was real bad out there at least 2 of the 3 years we were there. Grasshoppers. And I'd go out there and I'd try to catch them. They'd just be hopping up all over the yard, you know. And I'd find me a big old fat one. I figured he'd get tired, you know. I'd let him hop 2 or 3 times. And finally, I could catch him, you know. And I'd fill up my hands with them big old grasshoppers. You know what? All them Nebraska grasshoppers chew tobacco. Because they spit on you. And you know what? Their spit's brown. So I figured they chew tobacco. Ain't no telling what them North Carolina grasshoppers do. But them Nebraska grasshoppers, they chew too. And I tell you, they spit all over your hands, all that brown stuff. And I'd go up to my neighbor's house. She furnishes us up with those good farm fresh eggs like Calvin's got. And I'd pay her back, you know, with grasshoppers. I'd go over there in the chicken houses and I'd take 2 big old handfuls of grasshoppers and I'd throw them over there in the pen with all those Rhode Island red hens. And they'd come out there and, boy, Brother Gibb, in just 3 seconds, I'd throw those grasshoppers out there in just 3 seconds. Not a leg, not a toenail left. And I go get some more. It don't take a whole lot to entertain me. What am I saying? Can you imagine how that grasshopper would feel? Look at that great big old Rhode Island red hen coming at him. He ain't got but 3 seconds to live. Well, that's the way these Israelites were. Oh, we just grasshoppers in their sight. In other words, they had the grasshopper complex. Our churches are filled with this, by the way. Pastor, people sit around and say, it can't be done, Pastor. Yeah. Pastor's got a vision. Go on and do something great for God. He's got a vision to do something for the Lord. And nobody wants to cooperate. Nobody wants to get involved. We'll sit around and say, well, it can't be done. Let's try. No, it can't. Ain't no use to even go there, Pastor. We've tried everything. I'm sure you've heard it. Maybe something more spiritual than that. Say, well, Pastor, I prayed about it. Real spiritual, you know. I don't think it should be done, Pastor. Or maybe it's one big old grasshopper who sits around, Pastor, I don't care what nobody says. If I got anything to do with it, it won't be done. I sound like a grasshopper, you know. Our churches are filled with the grasshopper complex. That's why we can't go on for God a lot of times. There's always somebody trying to hold the people of God back, like those 10 spies. We can't do it. We're just like grasshoppers. I tell you what, people's contented to sit back in their wilderness wasteland. They say, well, ain't no giants out there where we are. There ain't no grapes either. There ain't no blessings out there either. I want to go where the grapes of Eshcol grow, brother. I want to go to Hebron land. See what God's got for me over there. I don't care if there are a few giants. Oh, Caleb probably said. I don't believe those giants bothered Caleb. In fact, I believe when he saw those giants, he got excited. Somebody probably said to Caleb, man, we can't go over there. They're too big to hit. Caleb probably said, man, what are you talking about? They're too big to miss. Hey, the glass is half full or is that, you know, half empty? It's perspective, isn't it? It is perspective. It's God's perspective or your fleshly perspective. God's looking down from heaven. He sees them giants. Where God's sitting, they don't look big, no bigger than him.
Amen.
Than anybody else. You think it bothered God any? There's some giants around. Oh, man. I believe that's where Caleb was. He had that heavenly view. He was looking at things through the eyes of the Lord. He knew God was more powerful than any giant. God's more powerful than any giant in your life, too, by the way. By the way, get this if you don't get anything else out of the message. The difficulties that God sends your way, I don't care what it is. The difficulties that God sends your way are the very things he'll use to make you strong. Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Talked about the people of God. The pessimist always sees difficulty, don't they? The pessimist always sees difficulty in every opportunity. But the optimist always sees opportunity in every difficulty. That's the kind of man that Caleb was. He had a character. He wholly followed God. That led to his confidence in the word of the Lord. That gave him the courage not only to overcome grasshoppers and giants, but finally tonight it gave him the courage to overcome his own gray hair. See some gray, hoary heads out there tonight? I tell you what, I want to challenge you to keep on going for God. I think, man, you got a few more gray hairs than we had when we first met, Brother Gilbert. I bet you hadn't quit on God. A lot of people retire on the Lord. Or just quit. Retire is just a fancy word for quitting, right? I ain't found in the Bible where to serve the Lord is supposed to quit. Or retire. Or get out of the battle. Or get off the firing line. You going to quit because you got a few gray hairs? Now, some of you wish you had a few gray hairs. And what ain't turning loose, brother, is turning gray. We get hit both all directions, don't we, brother? I'd rather for it turn gray than to turn loose, hadn't you? But we won't go there. It's amazing what a man to do with two hairs he's got left. He's proud of them, brother. When you got two, they're more precious, right? Or one. He'll let it grow that long, you know, so he can curl it around to him. Oh, Donald Trump, he's got a real comb over, ain't he? I ain't going to go there, but... No, he's president of the United States. I thank God for it, actually. Over what we had. Amen. Oh, me, whatever you want to say right there. I tell you what. We could quit. We could say, well, let the young ones have it for a while. We've been carrying the baton long enough. Time for the young folks to take it over. Well, that's good, and they do need to be, and we need to be bringing them along, and I'm not trying to take any responsibility off the young folks. They ought to pull up the slack. They ought to do their part. But, brother, that don't give us no cause to quit. You know, the young ones are still looking at us. They want to see how we're going to finish up this thing. They want to see how we're going to finish the race. Are we going to quit, or are we going to make it all the way to the finish line? I want to make it all the way to the finish line. I don't mean it's going to be easy now. Back to Joshua, I want to show you two verses that we already read. Go back to Joshua chapter 14. Notice his testimony here in verse 10. He says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said." So he's giving the Lord all the credit. "These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the days that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Therefore, he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." In other words, what does he say? He's saying, "I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. God had supernaturally preserved him. You say that ain't possible. Well, God preserved their shoes. For 40 years, they didn't wear out, did they? Well, how come God couldn't preserve a man then that he wouldn't wear out? God had supernaturally preserved Caleb for this job. And that tells me, brother, when God makes you a promise, he gives you the ability to claim that promise. The God who preserved the possession for the man preserved the man for the possession. He did. Where God guides, he provides. I know you've heard that before. Even if he has to make you a teenager at 85, brother, he can do it. He can do it. As I said, we were out in Nebraska. Well, this was even before we moved to Nebraska. We were out working in the West. This was in Wyoming. One of the first churches we ever helped in Wyoming was the Prairie View Baptist Church in Moorcroft, Wyoming. When we got there, they were about to close the doors. By the way, churches are closing. I mean, I'm talking about good fundamental. Baptist churches are closing their doors all over America. Did you know that? Not only do we need to be planting more churches, we need to be rescuing churches that are in trouble. Amen. This church was in trouble. They were down to 3 elderly ladies. All the men folk had died off. In fact, these 3 ladies and their husbands had founded the church 40, 50 years ago, and their husbands had died. And that's all was left, just them 3 elderly ladies. They were in their 80s. When we got there, they were fixing to shut off the gas, the power, padlocked the doors forever. They couldn't get a preacher. The last preacher had left. They couldn't get another one. What were they to do? So a preacher got with me, and he was in Sundance, Wyoming, and he pastored over there. And so he said, why don't we try to work together? And when you can, Brother Brent, you and your family help the church, and if you're not able to be in town, I'll come over and do an early service on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, then go back to my church. So we did that. We tag-teamed all summer, keep the church open, keep the doors open, keep at least a Sunday morning service going. People started coming back. We had upwards of 30, 40 folks coming back to church. We had a vacation Bible school that summer, and I think 6 kids got saved that summer in that little town. Little town of 800 folks. Not big enough for a McDonald's. All they had was a Subway. Thank God for that Subway. Boy, we went there a bunch. But I'll never forget, there was an old lady in that church by the name of Lil McEwen. She was 84 years old when we met her. Brother, she had all kind of trouble. I mean, physically. She had a bad back. She had sugar diabetes. I mean, the worst kind. Like 2 or 3 shots a day she had to give herself. She knew how to manage it somehow. And she had Parkinson's disease. She had congestive heart failure. And I don't know what all. I think I might have named most of them. But yeah, she was on oxygen too. Carry an oxygen bottle to church. I mean, you see somebody walking the door with an oxygen bottle, you know they want to be there, right? But that was just one of her problems. And brother, she was there at every service. And she wanted to keep the doors of the church open. But that summer while we were there, Miss Lil fell and broke her hip. And with all her other difficulties, I thought, brother, no way she going, you know, she won't come back. I mean, that's probably it. At her age, with all her problems, physical, we went to see her at the hospital in Gillette, Wyoming, and she's laying there in the bed. She said, well, the young doc came in this morning. She said, he told me my odds. He said, Miss Lil says, well, I can fix your hip. No problem about that. She said, but the trouble is, Miss Lil, if I put you under, you only got about a 30% chance of waking up. She said, I told him, go for it. She says, I want to fix my hip. She said, because if I don't wake up. She said, but if I do wake up, I'll know that God has at least one more job for me to do. And you know what? She woke up. And she lived about 6, 7, 8 more years God gave her to live. You know, that blessed me. Are you breathing? Let me hear you breathe. Boy, don't it feel good. Be able to breathe. I don't even see no oxygen bottles here tonight. Can you wiggle a little bit? Can you wiggle a little toe a little bit? You know what that means? If you can breathe a little bit, you can wiggle your little toe. That means God has at least one more job for you to do. Why don't we get about it? Why don't we be like Caleb? Whatever we got. In fact, whatever we got left. For some of us, that ain't a whole lot. But whatever we got left, why don't we just give it all to God? Let's pray.